Donald in the Kitchen talks about food. Donald in the Kitchen talks recipes. Donald in the Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donald in the Kitchen. This is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
This is the season for giving and receiving.
And making and cooking and baking.
Oh, it's a fun time of the year, I must say. In spite of the frenetic corporate push to push us over the edge on Black Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and all through the shopping season, let's take a bit of time to remember that there is joy in giving. Let's take back this time of year. Let's change the shopping season back into the giving season.
We're going to talk about homemade from the kitchen gifts for today.
It's a good idea. Why do you think it's a good idea?
Well, I liked it. You know, I mean, it's one thing you can go out and spend money on your friends and your family or something, but if you actually make something, there's some personal effort involved. You know, it's you're actually doing something. And plus, it's a lot of fun. It's a great excuse to make all kinds of usually ridiculously fattening and rich foods that you probably wouldn't do otherwise.
It's a celebration. It's a celebration. Don and I both like to cook, so we like to do things in the kitchen. But making gifts, or there's other kinds of gifts that don't have to be made in the kitchen. If you're a musician, or if you read,
or if you're crafty,
or if you like to take people to concerts, or if you can give a gift of fixing somebody's stuck drain. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do out there. Put a bow around it. Make it a gift to somebody. But we are going to talk about things that we can make in our very own kitchen. Donna's going to talk about some
chocolate.
Let's talk about chocolate. And I'll be talking about making caramel corn. It's possible. Yes, you can make it in your very own kitchen.
Actually, yes. All of the recipes that we have picked out for today are not complicated. They're not things that take a long time, like a fruit cake, which I do love to make. But, you know, it's too late to make fruit cakes for Christmas anyway, if you're going to pickle them, as it were. Mm-hmm. So these are all things that are doable, fast, delicious. Children could do them, some of them.
They make great gifts. They're that little bit of fuss that you can add to the holiday and brighten someone's life. We can talk about some compound butters, some chocolate butters, nut brittles, fudges, shrubs.
Vinegars and oils.
All kinds of good things. All kinds of good things. What do you have first for us, Donna?
Chocolate.
Nothing like talking about
chocolate,
the good stuff first.
Chocolate.
Chocolate for Christmas.
The three things that I kind of, and they are related. So, chocolate truffles, which are easier than you think to make. The simplest of all, of course, is chocolate butter, which I'll give you the recipe for. And the third one, of course, is chocolate fudge. I've been in the fudge business for the last 4 or 5 years. It goes in packages to all the aunties and cousins and, I'm loved by my family for this, so I'm a little behind. I got to get it made and in the mail pretty soon. But so these three chocolate things all involve kind of – I take a big – I don't even use a double boiler. I just take a big metal mixing bowl, put it over a pot of water with the pot not touching the water. Otherwise, it gets too hot too quickly. And all of them take a certain amount of cream, some sweetener – and some of them have butter in them. So it just is how loose you want. And I use the extra dark, which is, I think, 65% cocoa because I really like dark chocolate. So I'm going to give you the chocolate butter recipe because it is absolutely the easiest. And how I make it for gifts is I buy the – because it's very rich. So I buy, like, the smallest little – what size is that really small jelly jar?
You can get them 4 ounce.
I think it's a 4 ounce. Isn't that the teeniest one?
Kind of your regular jelly jar is usually 8 ounce, but you can get all half size.
Yeah. So this is rich enough that you can make a batch and just, you know, knock a whole bunch of gifts off your list at one blow. So how much does this make? It doesn't even say. Well, here's the proportions. So you're melting 8 ounces of bittersweet, very dark chocolate. Now, I have to note that most chocolate chip packages do come in 9 ounces. So you can up everything a tiny little bit. So I put the
or eat them.
Yes. No problem. So 8 ounces of bittersweet chocolate melted with 1/4 pound of unsalted butter. That's one stick. And 1/2 cup of heavy cream. Now the flavoring is the individual part. So you're just melting this all together, and then when it gets stirred together, you just pour it into the jars and cool it off. So that's 8 ounces of bittersweet chocolate, 1/4 pound of butter, and 1/2 cup of horizon. No, not sorry. I wrote this as a job. 1/2 cup of heavy cream. Now I put in that a pinch of freshly grated black pepper, a tiny pinch of salt, and a tablespoon of port. So that's my flavoring. Now you could do all kinds of, you could put orange zest in it. You could put, you know, all kinds of things. So this, you just melt this, you pour it in the jars, and you put the lid on. Then you put a cute little label and tie a ribbon around it. And it's the most appreciated. It's very good on, you know, that nut butter, nut bread that they have out at the cafe. What is that? The walnut?
Walnut something or
right.
other.
Slice that up in a toast and put a little dab of this chocolate butter on it. It makes a wonderful hors d'oeuvre at a party or a Christmas breakfast, things like that. So now the same thing can go if you're making, let me give you a quick chocolate truffle recipe. So, all right, this says it makes about 20 truffles. So, oh, dear, it's in grams. I forgot to translate this. Oh, well, basically the idea is you're melting the chocolate chips. You put cream in it. And this one has a very little liquid flavoring. This one has rum or brandy. And then so it's a very soft, buttery thing. You chill it, then you roll it in little balls, and then you roll it in cocoa powder or nuts or something like that. Yeah. So
do you have to, like, chill this to keep it from being mushy? Or
yes.
Okay. So as you're working on it, what, in and out of the refrigerator?
Well, no. For the truffles, you just you make the chocolate goo like in all the other
chocolate
recipes.
Chocolate goo, yes.
And so it's basically – it's always chocolate and or butter or cream, right?
Okay.
That's technically called it a ganache. And from the ganache base, all of these other things are made, and depends on the amount of liquid, how, like, the buttery one you pour in a jar, so you kind of want it soft and more mm-hmm. liquid because mm-hmm. it's spreadable. The truffles, you want a little less liquid okay. because you're going to roll them into a ball. So you for the truffles, you melt them all together and combine it, and then you refrigerate it for at least overnight. That does, it kind of marries the flavors. And then you roll them into little balls. And usually you don't roll them much before you're ready to present them. And they should be stored in the refrigerator because you want them to just come to room temperature. So when someone picks it up and pops the whole thing in their mouth, it kind of melts. It's very buttery, truffles are. And then you can do all kinds of things. Like I used to hide a little piece of candied ginger in the middle of one and roll another one in nuts or put a little candied citrus peel. You know, it's custom, your choice of flavors. You can get very creative. And then the third thing, which is the thing that I make all the time now that is expected by my family, is fudge. Now, this year so far, I've made a flavor that – did we talk about it last week? Where I put the passion fruit – I brought that passion fruit
– I ate it,
dried
but we didn't talk about
powder.
It.
I brought it back from New Zealand was visiting my kids. And so I put that – I made a kind of fruit nut fudge with the dark chocolate once again. And so I think I put pecans and a tiny bit of cardamom and a little coriander – because I like those with fruity flavors. Last year I did something else fruity. Oh, lots of orange peels. Candied orange peels are actually something that are very easy to make. Look it up in The Joy of Cooking, and I would encourage you to try it using – I use, of course, organic peels because I don't want chemicals. If I'm going to eat the peel – I want it to be really good. So you use navel oranges for the peel or lemon, grapefruit. Any of those can also be, once you make them, you can dip them in chocolate, too, for candies, that kind of thing.
That's one of my favorites, actually. I really like candied orange peels, and I discovered that via The Joy of Cooking a long time ago, and I figured I can do that. Now, that is a bit of a fuss. It's a time-consuming thing. But it's worth it, folks. It's worth
it. And you know, if you do them, well, if you'd done them 2 weeks ago, you'd have a whole bunch throughout the whole. But it's not too late to do them. They are, you know, it takes an evening. But so that is good in fudge. The classic one that I had made for a number of years, I made a toffee with cocoa nibs, pecans, and black walnuts. Now, not everybody loves black walnuts, but with chocolate, black walnuts are quite acceptable, as long as they're not like dominating, but with the bitterness of the cocoa nibs. So I made a toffee, and we'll talk about nut brittles in a little bit. So I had made this sort of nut brittle topping with cocoa nibs, pecans, and black walnuts, and a little black pepper. And then I crushed it I put it in a bag and hit it with the rolling pin.
That's a good way to crush things.
Yeah. So I had little speckles. And then once I made the fudge, let's see, what did I put in the fudge that year? Oh, the fudge itself had the dark chocolate again, corn syrup, and cream. And you melt that. And then you stir in pecans, cocoa nibs, and vanilla extract and a pinch of sea salt. So then a simple way to do it is you make a flat, like 9x11 baking pan, and you just fill it with, line it with aluminum foil. And then you know, the chocolate is so buttery. So you just pour it into that, and then you let it chill. And just before it gets all the way chilled, while it's still a little soft, then you press the toffee in the top of it so that once it firmly chills, the toffee is stuck, you know, to the top of the fudge. Otherwise, if you wait till it's hard and you put it on, the toffee falls off when you cut it. So those are three chocolatey things. Now, the easiest one, of course, that you can do with children would be the chocolate butter. I highly recommend it.
What a nice thing to get for Christmas, chocolate butter, or chocolate in any form.
Yeah, and if you make it late at night and you keep tasting and tasting, you will never be able to go to sleep.
A word of warning from the chef. Be careful out
there. I speak from experience.
Be careful out there. Oh, this past weekend, we had
a lot of things going on.
A lot of things going on.
Tis the season.
Oh, there's so much Christmas thing. If you want to take it in, you can take it all in if you want. I went to the Central Iowa Symphony for their Christmas doodah in the Ames City Auditorium, and it was very lovely, very lovely. Also, another Christmas event. My husband Joe and I put up our snow fence. That's another Christmassy sort of thing. We're prepared this year. And it actually got warm enough. We're a little late, I know, folks, but it got warm enough that we could actually drive the fence posts in, and yes, we got it up. So we're ready for Christmas. Something else that happened this last weekend was a meeting of concerned citizens about the Bakken pipeline. That also met in the Ames City Auditorium. Do you have any – you were there, Don.
Well, it was quite informative. The first thing I learned was that this is not going to happen like immediately. It's quite a process, and everybody was saying, you know, stay involved, keep pushing. There are multiple things to do. And one gentleman spoke, and I thought it was very cogent what he said. He said, I am neither for nor against it. What I think is important is that we are very well informed about what this is, what the consequences of it may or may not be. And several interesting things came up in the meeting that I hadn't known before. Carol Raffensperger, who is an environmentalist and a lawyer, mentioned that she had read the, the annual report of the company proposing the pipeline. And in fact, they have a corporate structure which allows them to not pay federal or state taxes, so they won't be giving taxes to support our communities. They also, Dave Swenson, I believe was his name, he talked about they had a financial statement of all the jobs that would come from this. First of all, the jobs will only last 2 years, basically. But he also talked about and explained for all of us how to read this sort of document and said that theirs was grossly overestimated by at least 50% and explained why. I mean, there was a lot of information, and it wasn't just like, oh, woe is me, or I hate this, or I don't want that. It was like, let's become educated citizens. It was a very thoughtful meeting. And the next meeting, I believe, with the company is, I think it's December 15th, and that will be at the Story County Courthouse. So if you want to see the show, folks, let's go on over there.
Yes. Keep your ear,
stay informed.
Ear to the ground. Keep your ear to the ground on that. And remember, a advice from a cooking show here, take advice that you get from the government and from large corporations with a grain of salt. Let's go into this with our eyes wide open. Ah, yes. Oh, and here's the part of the show where I must say, mea culpa, mea culpa. I made a mistake.
Oh, my goodness. Lana.
She did.
So perfect. I'm shocked. Shocked.
Ha. Now, listen, I made a mistake on the pumpkin pie recipe that I gave you for the pre-Thanksgiving show. There was the pumpkin pie from Provence. And I got a call on Thanksgiving morning from a friend, Beth, that was making this pie. And she says, this looks wrong. She's a good cook. I can't pull anything over on her. I'd forgotten to put in the milk. Of course you need milk in a pumpkin pie.
Or cream.
I've got, so 3/4 cup of milk is added to the recipe that I've given you, or half and half, I say, because you already add 1/4 cup melted butter. So anyway, it is corrected. The new pumpkin pie from Provence is up on the website. So, oh.
But, there of course, my pumpkin cobbler was completely
was
correct.
Was perfectly fine. Another idea about pies. Is this a new thing? I don't know. Is this a new trend? In the past couple of weeks, I've been to 2 pie parties, and I can't think of a better idea than getting together not just for a potluck. Everyone brought pies. It was really good. I don't know whether the trend has just found its way to the Midwest or whether we are in the middle of a revolution in new kinds of potlucking.
I don't know. I think it's a reversion back to comfort food. I think we're all stressed by what's going on in our world politically and socially, and so we're moving back to the comfort zone.
Oh, talk about people having a good time. I mean, they bring their best. I was at one, and I know what kind of pies were there because I was in charge of writing all this stuff on a blackboard
I heard a rumor that you ate a piece of every single kind.
The old girl has gotten really good at potlucks. I can taste all of these things just a little bit, and I enjoyed them all. There were savory pies and sweet pies. So there were 2 quiches. There was a samosa pie, a southern lemon pie, a German chocolate pie, gingerbread coconut pie, sweet potato, broccoli, and blue cheese. Very good. Chocolate cream, peppermint ice cream.
What's that one?
Oh, salted caramel custard. That was dandy. An onion sage pizza. I brought that one. Shepherd's pie. I did make the pumpkin pie from Provence, and I made it correctly, folks. Okay. And then there was also a smoked salmon cheesecake. These were all this stuff was great. It was all round and lovely. And speaking of round things, did anyone else see the beautiful full moon on Saturday night?
Oh, I did. I was actually out walking the dogs when the moon was coming up, and it was just the second it popped up over the horizon, it was like an orange polka dot in the sky. It was so beautiful.
Yes. Oh, yes. So the December full moon is known as the backwoods cold moon or the hunting moon. Oh, was it gorgeous? It was fun. This time of year also is the festival of St. Nicholas, which way, way, way predates Christianity. St. Nicholas eventually morphs into one of the versions of Santa Claus, of course. On the 5th of December, it's the eve of St. Nicholas. And children traditionally put out hay and carrots and for the horse that St. Nicholas came on, and like we put it out for the reindeer, and then St. Nicholas would leave gifts. But St. Nicholas is really an old god. The Gnostic followers of St. Nicholas thought that the only way to salvation is through frequent copulation. Yes, yes. In Northern Europe, St. Nicholas absorbed pagan attributes from
This just became an X-rated cooking show.
It did. Well, that's what they used to do in the Feast of St. Nicholas way, 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 way long ago. He absorbed the pagan attributes of of Odin, the god, the Norse god Odin, the chief of the wild hunt, get this. And Odin rides to the sky with reindeer, and 42 supernatural huntsmen. But since the Reformation, this saint has become merged with Father Christmas. And
guess he calmed down a little bit.
Calmed down a little bit, yes. And so that's where the...
And that was December 6th, was the feast of St. Nicholas.
We had that, but that's it. And so we'll have other bits of things that we'll be celebrating. This is the month to celebrate. The year is ending. A new one is starting.
Oh, yes. We're going to be discussing the solstice in the next show.
Yes. And another thing I want to mention about the holidays, we will... have a celebration right here at KHOI. There's an open house, KHOI Radio, 410 Douglas Avenue, this coming Friday, December 12th, 5 to 7 p.m. We're going to have a holiday toast to our community with a special holiday readings by KHOI Radio personalities Hollis Monroe and Mary Richards, coming at 6 o'clock. So that's good.
And another thing that's going on is today.
Music
now?
That's fine.
Okay. So this afternoon at 4:30, Lana and I are going to be at the, which church is it?
UCC.
The UCC?
The one kitty corner from the post office.
Yes.
In downtown Ames.
No. It's across. Oh, it is. Yes, it's not across from the post office. It's kitty corner. Anyway, it's the farm to folk, gathering, where all the farmers come and you can talk to them about what they grow and what they've got and sign up your CSAs for next year. And Lana and I will be there, and we will be giving tastes of cardamom orange honey butter.
Yeah.
Recipes for it.
Yes. Yeah, so
that's today.
Come to the winter meeting of the... producers and meet the producers at Farm to Folk this afternoon. I think it's like from 4 to 7 or something like that. Hope to see you there. We're back. You're listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen on KHOI Radio. We're talking about good things to make in your very own kitchen from your very own hands and with your very own heart. And Donna's got some more ideas of things to make for the holidays.
Well, you had said that you've never made peanut brittle or nut brittles.
No.
It's fun. Now, it's actually fun to do with older children, too, because, maybe 10, 12 on up, because, of course, it involves very hot sugar and you can spatter and burn yourself. But, of course, peanut butter brittle is the standard. However, I would encourage all kinds of other nut brittles and flavorings, like, pecan brittle with coriander, for example, and a little bit of, orange zest with it or something like that. People make with sunflowers or papitas or,
anything
things.
Anything crunchy.
Yeah, crunchy. But the basic thing is, and I'm going to kind of walk you through this so that if you ever see it done, you'll see how easy it is. But the basic toffee recipe is 1 cup of sugar, 1/4 cup of corn syrup, 1 tablespoon of butter, and then whatever you want to add in. So basically what you're doing is you're taking a big cast iron frying pan And you, and before you do that, you have to grease the cookie sheet so that you're ready, or use a Silpat. So, because once it gets going and it's hot and it's ready, you have to work really, really fast because it cools down very quickly. So, you've got your sheet set up, your cookie sheet. So you put the sugar and the corn syrup into the skillet. So that's the cup of sugar and quarter cup of corn syrup. And you cook it with over a medium-high heat, and you stir it with a wooden spoon until the mixture becomes golden and kind of it gets dark a little bit. Not too dark, but, and very syrupy. And at that point, there's a point where, then you put in the whatever nuts you want in flavorings, and you just cook it a little bit longer to bring it back up to temperature. And then at that very moment when it's hot again, you throw in the butter. It's kind of not too much. It's a tablespoon, something like that. And you add baking soda, and it kind of fizzes up a little bit, and you stir it really quickly, and then you dump it out onto the greased surface, and quickly spread it with the spoon,
because you want it thin and flat.
Yeah, and it will harden very, very quickly. And then you just you let it cool off, and then you break it into whatever size pieces you want and bundle it up. It's very fast, and it's people just love it. Pistachio brittle, any kind of thing, and kind of create your own flavors and get carried away with that one. It's fun and it makes a great gift.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah,
I always like getting it for gifts. So I do other things for Christmas, and then I'm always glad when somebody makes that for me. You mentioned there were.
Lana lost her track here.
I lost my track. That's fine.
Well, nut butters and brittles.
Oh, yes. Nut butters and brittles.
Compounds?
Yes.
Is that what you
yes,
want to say?
Yes, yes.
Compounded butters. Okay. This is another thing that's really, one of the things we're going to do tonight, if you come by Farm to Folk, is we're going to give out taste of cardamom honey butter, which is basically you're mixing honey, cardamom, coriander, orange extract, a little black pepper and salt into really soft butter. You just whip it up with and that's another thing that's really good in those little tiny, what did you decide they were, a quarter cup?
No.
Half cup?
4 ounce.
4 ounce jars for gifts. I had two, we have a recipe card which you can pick up if you come to Farm to Folk. One is a honey butter with the cardamom, and the other one is what I'm calling a double cinnamon, where you just mix it with a little vanilla, honey, and butter, and I use the regular ground cinnamon and some Vietnamese ground cinnamon because that kind of deepens the cinnamon flavor. That's a nice, very classic
gift. It is lovely. These recipes actually also are on the Donalana Kitchen webpage.
Oh, we have them on the webpage. Okay.
Yeah, so you can go to KHOI.
And this is one that's very easy to make with really young children.
And it smells Christmassy.
Yeah, either one of them does. And then the other kinds of butters that you can make and that go nicely in jars, sage butter. We've talked about that a number of times, brown butter sage, where you just take fresh sage leaves and fry them till they're very, very, very dark. And then you let it cool a little and crumble them all up, and then you can pour them into the jars.
That seems like it would be a nice taste of
butter.
It is.
It's very good in putting it on a little cooked chicken or vegetables. Delicious on potatoes. Another thing people love is just compounded garlic butter.
Ooh.
Where how would you do it? I think I would probably very lightly saute the garlic, quite mushed, and then put that into some softened butter and let it re-harden and then kind of roll it up in a roll. That's great on popcorn, on top of a steak, on a hamburger.
There you
know,
have it. There
drop
you
some
have
herbs
it.
In it. Any of those flavored butters are beautiful little gifts. You roll it up in a log, tie a ribbon around it, or you could tie ribbons at the ends and make it look like a firecracker.
Oh. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. You're listening to KHOI. This is the Donalana Kitchen, KHOI Radio. We're back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're talking about Christmassy things, things we can make. We'll take a little bit of time right now to mention something that is a surprise, but a nice surprise.
We were delighted, actually.
We were delighted. The Donna Lana Kitchen program, this very program that you're listening to, has been selected for an international food awareness radio project. The Donna Lana Kitchen...
She means we won the award.
We won a prize, an international
prize. This is now a prize-winning...
No. It's being included in this honor. And anyway, it's hard to explain, but here's what happened. All right? The Donna Lana Kitchen, this very radio show, has been chosen to be one of 36 audio productions from around the world that facilitate the understanding of nutrition, food, and agriculture. The project,
that's us, folks.
That's
All
us.
Right.
That's us. The project was sponsored by the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization and the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters. And this award was for the second International Conference on Nutrition. Okay, that's all those big words.
So this is the UN Food and Ag?
UN Food and Ag folks and International World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters.
And we were only one of two American shows.
Right. Out of these 36 audio productions, there were programs from Columbia, Missouri, and Ames, Iowa, representing the United States. Most of these audio productions are from around the world. They were produced in French, in English, and in Spanish. Some of the people that sent things in were from El Salvador, Haiti, Belgium, Japan, Bangladesh, Iraq, Guatemala, France, Canada, South Africa, and many more. It's amazing. The radio program, the Donna Lana Kitchen radio program selected for this project is called Carrot King and Jell-O, with Gary Guthrie, a farmer from Growing Harmony Farm, south of Nevada, Iowa, well known for his tasty carrots. And the show also explores the wide world of Jell-O. And amid all of this stuff about food issues around the world and pregnant women in Guatemala and the arid lands of Iraq and food policy in France, here we are, the Carrot King and Jell-O. We are holding our heads up. We are representing Central Iowa. So there you go. We won an award. So good for
and we had a good time doing it.
We had a great time doing it. It was good. So back to Christmassy things. You're going to talk about vinegars and oils and flavored vodka, flavoring things in bottles.
Yes,
I think is what this
infusions.
Is
infusions. Now it's not too late. Uh-huh. It's getting late, but, you know, if you run right out and do it. In fact, I just started a Christmas shrub that is apple and cardamom. It's in the second day of sitting. So it was basically you grate the apples up, you pound the cardamom, you put that in with vinegar and sugar, and you let it sit for 2 days. Now I'm at the point where I'm going to strain it off and squeeze it out, and then I'm going to put it in little jars, and I'm going to hand it out with this cocktail recipe. The cocktail's called the Shallow Grave, and
that sounds really good
for Christmassy, don't you think? But it's red, so it's kind of cute.
It says kind of Charles Dickens.
Yes,
Scrooge. Okay,
this cocktail. It says this one pairs gin with apple cardamom shrub. Cardamom and lemon are ingredients that always play nicely together, so this is an easy combination to come up with. Pimm's is an English liqueur, a fruit cup made with a blend of fruit, herbs, spices, and gin. So the recipe is 2 ounces of gin. This will knock your socks off, I think. 1 ounce of the shrub, the apple cardamom shrub, 1/2 ounce of lemon juice, and 1/4 ounce of, 1/2 ounce of Pimm's, which is something you can buy at the Cyclone Liquor, for sure, maybe even at Hy-Vee. So you just shake them up and you strain it into cocktail juice. So one of my Christmas gifts will be little jars of this shrub, which will then, after I strain it off today, it will, like, rest in the refrigerator until Christmas when I give it out with the cocktail recipe. Another thing that you can make are infused vodkas. So if you here's one for lemon vodka. So you you take the skin from two or three small lemons. I mean, so you have to peel it off without getting too much of the pith. And then you put it into the vodka with a tablespoon of clear honey. And that's supposed to sit. And if you want to put cranberry in it, too, that also makes it pink. You can let this sit for a couple of weeks and then decant it and give that as a gift. Another suggestion was, chili vodka.
Oh, chili vodka.
I know. And, of course, this woman is English who writes this book. This is Sarah Raven's Complete Christmas Food and Flowers. But she says, my favorite of all flavored vodkas is chili vodka. It has a clean, bright taste, but doesn't take your head off. It's perfect for drinking as shots with Bellinis and smoked fish or caviar, if you're lucky, on Christmas Eve. So she takes three small red chilies or one long red chili, puts it into a 750-milliliter bottle of vodka, and she says she lets it sit only 24 hours unless you want it to get really hot.
Hmm.
Now, I suspect we would probably just let it sit there for a while. Or I think it's really nice if you're giving it as a gift to just, you know, leave the chili submerged in it because it's pretty. So a chili vodka for those that don't want something sweet and want their head snapped off for Christmas. Some of us like to get that way occasionally, don't we?
It sounds very warming.
Right? Now, the other thing you can infuse that's more family suitable is either vinegars or oils. So, like I had told Ingrid last week on the show that I had infused the tarragon from her garden. It's actually been sitting since this summer, and that will be decanted and made into a vinegar present. You could also, it's quite good with more savory herbs, like if you want to stick some rosemary or even, well, rosemary is pretty easy to get right now. Do you still have some in the garden or did you bring yours in?
Oh, mine's in the greenhouse, but they're growing and I've been using rosemary. You mentioned oil, so do you warm this stuff up before you infuse it? It seems like it would improve or speed things up if the liquid was warm.
Since we're really close to Christmas, it would not hurt. But depends on if you're using a live vinegar, you probably don't want it. I mean, warm would be okay, but if you heat it, you're going to kill all the probiotics in the vinegar. But if you're using like a really, I don't know, balsamic. Wheatsfield has a really good vinegar called a golden balsamic. So it's light enough that you can see what's in the bottle. So it's very pretty. And it's already, it's balsamic, so it's already slightly sweetened. So you could drop in, a sprig of rosemary. You could buy some fresh basil and pop it in. Or even dried marjoram, a couple peppercorns. Now, I would sort of crack the peppercorns lightly that the flavor comes out more quickly. Garlic, of course.
Yes.
Just drop them in the bottle and pour either vinegar or oil over them.
I read someplace that putting garlic into oil and just letting it sit is not a good idea because microbes can kind of start working on the garlic. So would you keep that in the refrigerator maybe? Although I would use it up fast enough that it wouldn't.
Yeah,
hurt. But
I mean, if you really want to, you could give the garlic a quick sauté.
Ah.
Light. Mm-hmm. Light sauté. You don't want to fry it till the oils are dead. Although, garlic is its own antiseptic. So
that's right. I don't know. I think I was told that by someone who was really, really careful about
fastidious.
That.
Fastidious. Or maybe they're using that funky Chinese garlic or something, I mean, if you're using fresh, local, from Onion Creek Farm garlic, I can't see that would be a problem. Plus, olive oil and vinegar are both very old preservatives. If the garlic is submerged and no air can get to it, isn't that anaerobic?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I can't imagine how that would not work.
Anyway, when I get gifts like that, I tend to use them up. So I haven't.
And do use a nice olive oil if you're going to do that, like cold pressed. Don't get like a light cooking oil. Use a good olive oil, especially if it's a gift.
Yeah, why not? Splurge a little bit. Enjoy things. That's good. Anything else to say about vinegars and oils? I have a question. The the wonderful drinks that you make out of your shrubs with added vodkas and things, does one serve that on ice or does one serve that just straight up?
I think that would depend on personal preference.
Okay. Well,
I mean, it can be an ingredient. I mean, the shrubs don't have any alcohol in them. You can drink them straight or add bubbly water to them, or you can get snockered if you want. But you can feed the straight stuff to children, you know.
Yeah, the shrubs are just homemade
soda.
Fruit soda.
Yeah,
so they have
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's good.
And Alana came in. Are you going to give us your caramel corn
recipe?
Oh,
yes. I brought in some caramel corn
and I ate
today.
The whole bag all in one blow.
Did you eat the whole bag at one? Okay.
Yes,
good
I
for
did.
You.
Good I did.
You.
It was so good.
Well, Donna talked earlier in this show about making nut brittles. It's making that candy, that caramelized butter and sugar, and it hardens quickly. There's sort of the same process here having to do with caramel corn. And this is a recipe called oven caramel corn. Yes, you can do this. This is good. You can pop popcorn, right? You can do that. This is oven caramel corn. And I love popcorn. I got this recipe from my Aunt Tiny Westead. Everyone needs an Aunt Tiny. She's my godmother, actually. And she was a great baker. I remember her husband, my Uncle Vern, would always get her a clean garbage can to stack up with cookies every year because she made cookies and gave them away for Christmas. And
well, I
and
can see she was related to you. You are quite the cookie maker yourself.
All this wonderful sweet stuff. I think it comes from my Aunt Tiny. And besides recipes, she was a kind person, and she had a great sense of humor. So here's to Aunt Tiny's oven caramel corn. Okay. For this recipe, you'll need a large baking pan with high sides for mixing. A big turkey roasting pan works well. I happen to have one that it isn't really a turkey roasting pan. I think I got it at a garage sale where the source of all good things. I think it's a pan that used to be in like a restaurant hot table, a serving tray. It's 20 inches by 12 inches by 4 inches high. The higher the sides, the better. Or actually, if you've the disposable turkey pans, the tinfoil looking ones, they're kind of about the right size. The high sides are important. First, set the oven at 250 degrees Fahrenheit and then butter the sides and bottom of this big, deep pan. Make enough popcorn to fill this pan 3/4 full. For me, it was 2.5 air poppers full, but you can tell when the pan's about. That leaves you room to stir. Then, in a saucepan, combine 1/2 cup dark syrup, 2 cups brown sugar.
You mean like Karo syrup. Is that what you mean?
Well,
it's dark syrup.
Here we go. This the recipe says dark syrup. I have bloomed on from there. I made it with dark syrup to start with. And now I use syrup, pancake syrup, because it's lighter.
You mean like that. Maple syrup?
You can go all the way, and I have made it with maple syrup. As in
Ooh.
Really expensive, and that's really
Ooh,
good, but it's
yum.
Kind of pricey.
Ooh.
Or I back up a little bit and just, I think we had a breakfast potluck a while ago, and somebody brought some Mrs. Butterworth's, that kind of syrup, which is corn syrup, but it isn't as heavy as the dark syrup. So although the recipe says dark syrup, lighten it up a little bit. I like it at least kind of not quite Karo syrup. So some sort of dark syrup, your taste, actually. So here we go again. 1/2 cup dark syrup, 2 cups brown sugar, 1 cup butter, 1 teaspoon salt, and boil this for 5 minutes over moderate heat. Okay? Stir it. Careful. Then remove this from the heat and add 1/2 teaspoon baking soda. And again,
it's just like the toffee, then, isn't it?
It'll beat until very foamy. And work fast. Pour this over the popcorn. It gets all foamy and bubbly. And pour this over the popcorn in the roasting pan and work fast.
What do you stir it with? 2 wooden spoons or something?
Butter a spoon of some sort and mix. And then put it in the oven. Bake it for 250 degrees for 1 hour. But every 15 minutes, go in and stir it again. It's going to be sticky, sort of, but you can run a buttered spoon around and around and around. What this does is it dries it off, it fluffs it up a little bit, and it makes the caramel topping soak into the
popcorn.
Well,
it was
really nice and light. It wasn't like Cracker Jacks at all.
Oh no, it's not. It's not. I don't know why. I think be sure to stir it every 15
minutes. Must be the oven drying.
The oven drying, it makes it fluffy. It doesn't, you think of caramel corn as something heavy, but somehow this does not end up heavy.
No, and it doesn't stick to your teeth.
It doesn't stick to your teeth.
It sticks in your teeth a little, like all popcorn, but it doesn't, like wouldn't pull out your dentures if you had them.
Right. So use a buttered spoon to stir that every now and then after an hour. Take it out of the oven and immediately spread it on wax paper or something that it won't stick to on your counter and spread it out and let it dry. Let it cool and it's ready.
Single layer kind of?
Single layer, it's very forgiving because even if it sticks together a little bit, even when it's dry, you can break it and break it apart. And then store it in an airtight container. Baggies work well. Your biggest Tupperware container or ice cream pails.
Or eat it all at once.
This makes quite a lot, Donna. This makes quite a lot. Makes great gifts. And this also, once you get it dried and cooled and put in an airtight container, it freezes really well.
Oh my God.
So there you go. You're ready for Christmas. You are ready for those potlucks.
Now, I bet we could mess with Aunt Tiny's recipe and even add... let's see what into the syrup you could put a little cinnamon, or you could put what other?
Oh, I don't. I have never ventured beyond Aunt Tiny's recipe, but this recipe will be on the website on khoifm.org. Go to talk. Go to Donna Lana Kitchen, and you'll find this recipe there as soon as I get it. Yes, as soon as I get it up. It won't be. There immediately.
And you will be well loved from giving these gifts. Let me tell you.
Give
this is the popular. This makes you the most popular person in town. Yeah, all these good things.
Yeah. Great for potlucks. Great for all sorts of things. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen on KHOI Radio. We're back. More Christmassy stuff. That was music from the Baltimore Consort. Nice to have on in your ears for Christmas. We want to mention again that there'll be a winter party here, a time for KHOI Radio to have an open house and toast our community. Everyone is welcome. We'll raise a toast to new members. So that's Friday, December 12th. 5 to 7 p.m. with a special holiday reading by Hollis Monroe and Mary Richards at 6 p.m. So come down to the studio in between your Christmas shopping and in between your making your fudge and all that kind of stuff. Come down and we'll raise a glass of cheer. That'll be fine. That'll be fine. Also coming up, do take in all sorts of holiday things. This is the time of year to just do it. Go out and do something. Enjoy a concert. There is going to be this coming Saturday, and I highly recommend this, go see the Tuba Christmas. It's at noon at the First United Methodist Church this Saturday. Just tons and tons.
I want to catch that this year. Oh. That sounds like so much fun.
Just tons of Christmassy things happening. And even if you're shy, you can belt out Joy to the World with 58 tubas behind you, and it is such a great feeling. So do that. Do that in the spirit of the season. Yes. So share some of yourself for this Christmas. Go to swaps. Go to potlucks. Trade with one another. Give yourself a gift of giving this year.
And sing.
And sing.
Even if you can't carry a tune in a bucket. 'Tis the season to sing.
That That's what these Christmas carols are for. They'll keep you warm, put a smile on your face. And this afternoon, come over to the Farm to Folk Winter Meet the Producers gathering.
And taste our cardamom orange honey butter.
Yes, that's at the UCC Church, United Church of Christ, down here in Ames. So, you've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen.
The award-winning Donna Lana Kitchen.
And I'm Lana Nachtigal.
And I'm Donna Priskintas.
We've had excellent engineering by Rick Morrison. We've been listening to music by the Baltimore Consort. We'll go out with a tune called the Well Hall Waltz. Listen to the Donna Lana Kitchen Tuesdays at noon. And it's repeated, 7 o'clock in the evening. Go to khoifm.org and find us. Find our Donna Lana Kitchen page there. Find recipes. Find all the past shows if you miss something.
Yeah, you can listen to it anytime on your computer.
Yes, yes. Everything is about convenience here. Also, don't forget, on the KHOI page, there is also a button that says donate. Donate. Support this radio station. Tell your friends. Slide into the holidays with joy and
gusto.
You could
give memberships to your friends for Christmas presents.
Now, that is the best idea for a giving that I've heard. Good idea, Donna.
$40 per membership.
There you go. There you go. And you can help all of us out. Help us, help the community grow. Help the community grow. Slide into the holidays with joy and gusto. Give of yourself. Eat good food. Enjoy life.